Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're brown ambition. Little shimmy. Now, you know, I feel like I wanted to do a little, that's a little show tunes, you know?
We used to think about getting someone to sing our jingle, but like, why hire some professional?
When you can have me. Okay, get into it.
It wouldn't be the same. Tiffany. Hey guys, it's Mandy. Welcome to another week of Brown Ambition, where we talk over each other in the intro. Nailing it. So you survived the heat wave?
Yes. And I went to Doherty Park yesterday. I had a really good time.
What's that? What's that?
Oh, you never heard? Doherty Park is like, it's like, I guess like a Great Adventure-ish kind of place. They have, well, except for this one, I don't know if Great Adventure has a water park, but Doherty Park has a water park and then like a regular amusement park part. But it's in Pennsylvania, right where Pennsylvania kind of like meets Jersey, I guess. It's about like an hour and a half ride from Newark. And we had a good time. Took Superman, Supergirl, a friend of mine, Rihanna, it was her husband's 40th birthday. So all weekend they did like fun things like the beach on Saturday, which I was like, absolutely not in that heat.
I'm surprised you even went to like a theme park in that heat.
I know. That's brave. I'm not gonna lie. I was gonna stay home, but I am the queen of not going anywhere and then complaining about how boring my life is. And so I woke up on Sunday because I'd already told her I wasn't going. I woke up on Sunday and I was like, Tiffany, you pray for things like this. Like, hey, to be invited to go places, to have something to do. Get out. and so I got up. Superman looked at me like, have fun. I was like, oh no, sir, you two are going. but we honestly had such a good time. Even though it was really hot, we had a good time. But I will say this. So if you're not familiar, are you familiar with the Fast Pass, Mandy?
Yeah. I used to go to Six Flags in my day.
Mm-hmm. And so the Fast Pass is just like basically they sell a limited amount, and it just means like that line is like it could be anywhere from a little bit faster or literally like maybe next to no one in that line. And when I tell you, there were rides that we rode on 5 times before I saw people in line were still waiting.
I'd be so mad and staring at you guys like with daggers.
as we ran up and down. And I felt so bad. But I thought to myself, like, honestly, because I never was really wanting to get a Fast Pass before. I'm like, I'll just wait. But we must have gone on like 20 rides versus maybe the 5 we would have gotten to in that period of time. So it's just worth it. It was an extra, I think I found a Groupon or something like that. It was like an extra $50, but it was so per person, but it was so worth it.
No, I'm all for that. I remember I took Husbay for the very, you know, he's one of those New Yorkers who never went to the Empire State Building or done any of the, you know, New York stuff. So one day after work, I surprised him going to the Empire State Building, and I sprung for the Express Pass, which seemed in my mind like it was like $100, and I've been up there before. I know it's so crowded that you don't even want to spend more than like 20 minutes up there. And I was like, am I really going to spend $100 like on this Express Pass for both of us? And I did it, and it was so satisfying to like see the throngs of people on a Friday night waiting and just get to like breeze on by.
How does that work at the end? Because I've been to the Empire State. Like, is there like a different staircase?
There's a different line. There's a different elevator. And it's you just like the people we had to – I felt the heat coming at me. Yikes. From the people in the crowd. Like, what are they doing? They're not following the protocol. I'm like, Express Pass.
But it's so worth it because, like, you're the time. It's about your time. How valuable is your time? Okay. And I 100% agree, especially in like that heat at a theme park, which can be a really miserable experience.
Yes. And it really was to be able to jump in the water right away. And it's so funny because Superman is still not used to like doing like stuff like that. So the first time we got like express pass at Universal Studios, he was like FaceTiming his boys to like brag, like, you see me? I was like, I need you to drop the ball. It was so cute because you could tell he's like, I never could afford to go to amusement parks as a kid. And like, you know, he was just like, this is like my childhood all over. But when I tell you he was excited, I'm like, if you call one more person to show them that you're at the front of the line. That's so hilarious. Harry Potter, get into it, my dude. I'm like, I think your friend is fine.
Wait, how have y'all been to Harry Potter World? I haven't even been there yet. I don't know how.
I've been to the one in California and in Florida. Honestly, both are tremendously amazing.
I don't understand how that is not my life. I think because I've been waiting on my sister and my brother to get their act together. But now it's like, there's always something. Now there's a baby. It's just like ruining everything. I guess I'll go in 2021. Anyway, yeah, that's definitely worth the money. So fun. I did the exact opposite. I was grateful to live in the suburbs for once because it meant I have a car, which meant I could go places because we have air conditioning to get there versus like living in Manhattan when like the city would just, the cement just exudes so much heat and it's just like you want to die walking out there. So we went to the mall, we went and saw The Lion King.
It was pretty good.
You know, I don't want to like ruin it for anybody. You know, It was good. I mean, it wasn't the magic of the animated movie. Also, I'm not 6 years old anymore, so maybe that has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. I will say I never cried when Mufasa died as a kid, and I watched the movie over and over, but I cried like a baby.
You did?
This time, yeah. Maybe it's the hormones, but also I just – now that I have a dog – you know, all the animals just, I kept thinking about my Molly. And I'm like, what if we died and Molly saw our dead bodies in the gorge after the buffalo? You know, what if that was us? And I just pictured Molly the whole time. She's like my proxy for my actual baby, I guess. Aww. But yeah, and I got all up in my feelings. It's just like Disney movies are so sad because like the kids always are orphaned. You know, the parents always die at the beginning.
Right. I never thought about that. Disney is very morbid.
Very sad.
My dad would say morose and melancholy.
Melancholy. But it was good. I mean, the effects, like, it looked like the Planet Earth documentary, but with voices and songs. You know, like, effects were so realistic and beautiful. And, of course, you know, Beyonce and all that. I thought for a second she'd be too distracting with her voice, like her Texas, because I've never heard Beyonce not have a Texas Beyonce voice. And she kind of did, but they, you know, it was good. It didn't distract me. You know, it was a nice way to spend 2 hours in the air conditioning. I'll say that.
Uh-huh. You know, Beyonce, hey, Simba, what you doing there, Simba? You need to come home. You're like, okay. Beehive, I love Beyonce. Don't come singing.
Say my name, Simba.
Oh, no, that's good. See?
So you haven't downloaded the entire album, her soundtrack yet, I imagine. I have been
jamming. Okay. No, Spotify is my – I have a Spotify – whatever, I have Spotify. And so I've been jamming. I'm like, look at this love letter to Africa. Yes. I'm like, wait a minute now. I'm in love with it.
She did good, right? Like very respectful of the culture. Mm-hmm. And I will say that about the movie. It's very, you know, you think about it now and you're like, Matthew Broderick voices Lion? Like Jonathan Taylor Thomas was the baby Lion? What? Like all these white actors. But it makes so much sense now, this cast, but way more diverse. And to have Beyonce curate do the entire soundtrack. It seems like, okay, they righted some wrongs with this version. And I listened to it through once. I know people are obsessed with Brown Skin Girl.
Yes. Brown Skin Girl. That should be like our theme song if we wouldn't get sued for it. But we would.
She would come for us. Parkwood Entertainment would be like, and give me your entire life. So good for Beyonce. Hope you guys enjoyed the movie if you saw it.
Yeah. Beyonce. We love Beyonce.
If you didn't see The Lion King, did you watch? So remember when Serena was like, she was in Wimbledon. Was it Wimbledon? I don't really know much about tennis. But anyway, this most recent big tournament in London, she was in. And then it's like guys were like on Twitter, this thing went viral where guys were, or some study or survey or something, people were saying that a bunch of regular guys were convinced that they could score a point on Serena.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know if this – I saw this on Twitter today. I don't know if this was before this this stupid survey came out or she did it in answer to it, but it is the best 2 minutes ever. It's like Serena against like five white guys, like regular dudes, like in dad shorts and like baseball, you know, backwards baseball caps and stuff, and just like her get like annihilating them. It's so good.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I mean, well, that's just men in general. They just swear. I think I could beat Serena. Sir, her serve is over 200 miles per hour. No.
And part of me like didn't want her to rise to it. And again, I don't know if she did this. I don't know if this already existed. I don't think it existed before. I would have seen it. But anyway, like part of me is like, no, Serena, like you're too good to like come down to that level and prove. You don't have nothing to prove. Nothing to prove. But at the same time, it was extremely satisfying and so funny. And it looked like they all had a really amazing time. And it just makes you love her even more than you ever did.
Yes. First of all, her daughter is so adorable. It just gives me life when she posts her. And I just love the way her daughter mistreats her doll, Quay Quay.
I follow Quay Quay on Twitter. I follow Instagram. Quay Quay too. I'm like, Quay Quay. Honestly. Quay Quay.
What? I love her sense of humor. I love how little F's she gives. How clearly in love her husband is with her. It's just, it's not easy. And she said that. She's like, you know, I get attacked all the time. And yet somehow she's carved out like this happy life for herself. I can't imagine if day in, day out, yes, you have people who are telling you you're amazing, but you have a lot of people who are telling you, you know, not just regular people, but the sport that you love actively works against you. I can't imagine how much that must hurt, you know?
And she continues that, like, her poise. Mm-hmm. And, like, that press interview that she gave at a certain – I think after she was knocked out of Wimbledon. Again, not sure if that's what it's called. I'm pretty sure it's what it's called.
Yeah, it was Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. You know, that reporter asked her if – something along the lines of, does the criticism around you fighting for equal rights, you know, bother you or whatever? And she was like, the day that I stop fighting for equal rights of people who look like me is the day I'll be in my grave.
Yes, and I was like, you better tell him, Serena.
And I just love her interview voice. It's just, like, so no-nonsense. Like, she's not like, yelling at people. She's just, like, statement of fact. This is who I am, and she's so grounded in herself. And you have to be to have that kind of career where it's that much pressure.
Yes, you honestly, know? But if you see how – I remember when they were kids, Venus and Serena, how much their father used to really pour and pump them with confidence – and you see how adamant he was. People said like it was arrogance, but it wasn't. I remember an interviewer was interviewing Venus, and Venus was like, I'm going to beat her. I think I'm a better player. And the interviewer, meanwhile, Venus had to be like 13, 14. And the interviewer, you could tell, took exception. It was like challenging her, but not in a way of like, oh, are you sure? As if you're talking to this is a child. He was being disrespectful because I guess black little girl, who cares? Father jumps in, is like, I'm sorry, what part of this is a child don't you understand? Oh, well, no, that's a child that you're speaking to. Why shouldn't she feel confident in herself? You're wanting her not to feel confident? That is your aim here? I loved it. I said, if you don't step in, Dad, you know, they all called him so crazy, but look what crazy raised. He wasn't crazy. He was adamant that his daughters deserved. He was adamant that his daughters were worthy. And thank God that he did that, because look at what the sport tried to do to them. And if it wasn't for him, and I'm sure her family saying that you are everything that you could possibly be, then they wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Has he written a parenting book? Because I'll read it.
For real.
I would like to know how to do that.
Yeah, right? It's hard. I think it was, it was either Maya Angelou. It was either her book or Ayanna Banzan, and she said, I think maybe it was Maya Angelou. She said she didn't have any money or anything to give her son. The only thing she could give him was confidence. So she boosted him up as much as he could, because she said she knew that life was going to try to knock him down over and over.
But then also, how do you keep them alive for the first 6 months? Anybody have any tips? Let me know. Thank you. Just trying to get through the first 6 months.
From what I just understand, they just said, you know, that it's a lot the first couple of months, but then after a while you get into a groove, you know, but, you know, especially as a first time, this is just what I've heard, like, you know, that don't expect for it not to be a lot. And it's okay, because you're not crazy, that's just, it's a lot, because one, you still have like pregnancy hormones pumping through your veins. This is a brand new being that literally was not here before and is now here. That the baby is also like, what the hell is going on?
Right? How do I breathe? How do I eat?
Yes. And it was so funny because like it was crazy when I went to go visit my sister in Chicago. Meanwhile, her husband is a whole doctor. You would have thought they were both 15-year-olds, like with like he was like, they were just like, if it wasn't for my sister Carol, who has the two little ones, she came and got their whole life together. They were like, oh my God, thank you so much. They're like, we didn't know. She's like, that bottle, the nipple, there are nipple holes, and that bottle, the hole is too big. That's why the baby is gasping. She is drowning. Yes, basically. And like, just like, you know,
that's
I mean,
what I'm going to do, I'm going to drown my baby in the bottle.
So one thing that what I have heard is helpful is that if you know anyone who's had a child within a year, because they're still fresh, you know, like if right. someone has a kid at 3 or 4, then they've forgotten. But anybody who's had a child within a year is going to be really helpful to you.
And my, all my girlfriends who have, because I have a lot of girlfriends who are on their second kid by now, but like young kid, and they have already been so, my friend, shout out to my friend Sarah, who told me she's just going to look at my registry and just fix it. I was like, thank you.
Yes, you need that. Yes, I heard that.
Because I don't know.
This is not, no.
You don't need this. You need this. Yeah. So, and I had brunch with a friend who's also, she's pregnant too. And just like, just having those conversations. So, and I've heard from some listeners since the show aired last week. Thank you guys so much for all your messages. They were so sweet. So sweet. Mm-hmm. And some of you guys are pregnant too. And some of you guys have kids. So any tips, any books? I'm a book. I like to read books for stuff. And I feel like most of the books I'm being recommended are like for the pregnancy part. And I'm like, that's the shortest part. That's kind of the easiest part. You just sit there and eat things and just like, don't fall off this, you know, don't fall down a staircase. Sure. There's some challenges, but like what I want is like the first 2 years, like how do you make a smart kid? How do you make a kid who's like, you know, not a serial killer? How do you make a valedictorian? Like I'm thinking about as I do.
Oh my God. I love it.
The future.
How do you make a smart kid?
How do you make a kid who does her homework? Like, cause you take that for granted. Cause I'm sure you were, I don't know. Well, no, you talk about how bad you were.
I was not a homework dude. What? I was a troublemaker. Yeah. I mean, as much as a Nigerian child can be a troublemaker because, you know, there's only but so much that your parents will allow. But right. I was not. When I look at a Supergirl, I don't know. I tell Superman all the time, you lucked out. That girl comes home. Homework's usually done at school. She gets great grades. She doesn't get in trouble at school. I'm like, who are you? Because I was not that child. And yet, it's okay if your child is not that child because look at me now. I'm decent.
That's true. There's all kinds of people who like turn into jillionaires or, you know, invent different, you know, amazing inventions or start companies who weren't good in school. So that's right. I need more realistic advice like that. Yeah. Correct. Remind me how crazy you were because look at you now.
I'm not going to lie. Even my parents are like, yo, every other week, I swear my dad calls me and says, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm like, all right, daddy. I'm like, they're like, we tried everything. I mean, you said no to everything. And look at you now. I'm like, I know, daddy. It's been 5 years now.
Just needed an economic crisis is what they were missing.
I know. But I just say all that to say that just, I mean, love trumps everything. And I think more than anything, kids just want to know that they're loved. They want time. They want energy and they want love and the other stuff you'll figure out. You already have that part, you know?
Yeah. How do you balance the dog love with the human love? What about Molly? Is she going to feel neglected? Anyway. Anyway. But thank you guys for your kind messages. I'm getting excited, man. Halfway point. I can't wait for my baby moon is coming up. 2 weeks in Portugal. 2 weeks in Portugal.
Yes.
It's our last big vacation before our lives change forever. So I'm very excited. Don't worry, we'll still have shows airing, you guys. We're not going anywhere. We'll have a couple of shorter episodes, maybe some, you know, some of our top hits for August to share with you guys. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it.
Now it's time for y'all to ask us some questions. These are the questions. Well, you guys always ask amazing questions. We're getting more and more, but we love even more questions. Questions about money, your career, life. Me and Mandy are full of advice. And if we don't know, we'll just say we don't know. Yeah. So keep those questions coming.
And you'll be like, well, thanks. Appreciate it. You can send us questions. Hit us up by email, brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Or for those of you who are constantly on Instagram, like I am, you can hit us up at brandambitionpodcast on Instagram. And I love how people just say, hey, Mandy, now. They just know it's me. It is me.
It is.
Hey, Mandy.
I'm like, hey, I hear them later. I'm here too.
We might could have people reading them for us. No, it's me. Thank you for all your good questions. So let's take this one hit home for me, because if those of you who maybe are working in jobs right now where you're having your mid-year reviews, lucky enough to have a mid-year review, it's a cool thing that companies can do versus just having the one big annual review. So if you're having your mid-year or you're coming up on a review, this is a good question from listener who wants to go by T-Park. T-Park says, asks, how would you suggest recovering or redeeming yourself from lowballing your own salary? For instance, maybe you asked for a salary that was less than the requisition paid and later found out from conversations that the job could have offered more. According to LinkedIn, for my company and position, I'm paid $7,000 less than I could be. Now I'm embarrassed. Do you have any advice? Oof. I feel like this is a very common.
Yes.
Very common. It's so hard. It's so hard. And I have some thoughts on this. Tiff, you might too. Personally, having been on both sides of it, so now I'm in a position where I'm recruiting and hiring people, and I do make decisions around salary. And I get real – I mean, I personally – and I'm not supposed to say anything, but, like, sometimes I want to reach across the phone or the table and be like, negotiate. Ask me for more. I can give – because, you know what your – we know what our range is. But some people will come in with, like, very specific numbers in mind, and they'll be like, okay, yeah, we can hit that. I would say it's more difficult once you're in the position, once you've accepted the job and you're there at the company. So I won't harp too long on what you could have done beforehand to fix this, because that's already done. And plenty of other people are probably in the same position. So what I'll say is some companies do look at market adjustments where it's not like it's beyond a performance based or like a merit based increase, like your 2% per year or whatever that standard. They may actually, if you make a case for it, look at, okay, what is the market rate for your position? Are you under or overpaid for the market? And this happens if your company is maybe big enough to have a head of rewards and compensation, or like a head of like some department head who's in charge of looking at compensation. And they may take it up for your review, but you have to go to your manager to ask. And that's tricky because it's kind of like, you know, you're asking for, an adjustment in pay that's not maybe linked to like traditional things, a promotion or like a merit increase. But it's possible. Another thing, like secret advice that I wish I could give people is like, it may be, and you have to like feel, you have to feel out the vibe for the place that you work, but it may even be better for you to just get another competing job offer and then bring that to the table and use that.
Ooh, good one.
And I almost wish sometimes people just did that, because I don't think it's happened to me, but not from someone who's already been working here for a while. Definitely during negotiations in the beginning, it's happened. They've got two job offers. They're toying between, oh, this company B offered me $10,000 more. Can you match it? And that's worked. We've definitely done that.
Ooh, that's good.
But like if you're already in the job, sometimes the best way to show your value is to get an offer from someone else, a competitor. And if you just have to hope that you have to do it in the right way to where you're not, burning a bridge or creating creating any resentment from your managers or whatever, but do it in a way just to show your value and see if they can beat it and get your answer, And if they say no, maybe you want to take that job offer. If they say yes, then okay, you got what you wanted. Those are a couple of just thoughts I had. And $7,000 is not that huge of a jump. So you might
be able to close it. Yeah, that gap.
They might be able to close it if it's truly a market gap, or if you were able to get a competing offer and show that you're worth more.
And just be mindful, because I as an employer, well, we do adjustments because I feel like we're not quite where I want to be as far as paying market rate, because we still are, we still are really, I guess, in the eyes of the government or whatever, we still are a small business. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting much better, though. We're getting closer and closer, because I don't know if you guys remember, but earlier in the year, I said, we set a goal for my team to get the average employee to $100,000 a year. It's one of our audacious goals. And we're on track to hit that next year. So the average employee, meaning that maybe part-time customer support is $25 an hour, so $25,000 a year. But then maybe if you're on the lead team, meaning one of the executives, maybe you make, you know, $150,000, $200,000. But then, so that's what I mean by average employees. So not that everyone's making $100,000 no matter what you do. And so we're getting better at it. And so what we do is, because we're kind of in that, we're growing in that way, every 6 months, well, we try to do it every quarter, but it depends on like how well the quarter has been. But every 6 months or so, we make an adjustment where, let's just say, I think like, I don't know, maybe like starting customer support. Like if you're just brand new, maybe you did an internship with us and this is like, you know, we're just starting to pay you. Maybe it starts at 15, but we'll adjust up and say, okay, now everyone that comes in now starts at 18. And so if you're at 15, you're automatically bumped to 18, even though it's not based upon salary or not based upon merit or anything like that. It's just the company has adjusted up and we're working to our audacious goal till we kind of hit where I feel like a fair market value for works rendered across the board are. So that's one thing. And then two, yes, if somebody came to me from my team who said, you know, who I thought was killing it, and they were like, because we've given raises. Like, I'm unique in that. Well, not me, but this is unique in that with small businesses, there's a lot more flexibility than like a larger business. But I remember there was somebody on our team who was like, hey, Tiffany, I'm really, you know, I love working here. I'm going to continue to work here, but I just want you to know I'm taking a side job. So I'm not going to stop work, but I'm taking a side job because I said, oh, okay. And I found out through the grapevine is because she was struggling with childcare. And so I was like, well, she's slaying it. She's killing it. At that. So what I did is I looked at the, cause we have an open door policy as it relates to pay, where everyone can see, we have a grid where it's like, you know what color you are. You can guess what color other people are, but you know what color you are. And it'll say like green, you know, the range for mid-level green is, you know, I don't know, you know, $30,000 to $40,000, let's just say. So you kind of know where you are. And so I looked and I was like, you know what? Pink has not gotten an adjustment in a while. So I adjusted that whole color for anyone who is pink, senior level, mid-level, entry-level pink. I adjusted it up to accommodate. And I was like, you know what? It was time anyway. So because she can't, you know, she didn't ask me for a raise, but I didn't want to lose somebody who was amazing as a result of like, you know, childcare was going to be an issue. And so it was a significant raise. So like I said, but we're a smaller company. So I mean, as we get bigger, I might not be able to make moves like that, but for now we can. So you just never know unless you ask. And so I just wanted to share that like, if you deliver,
say that again, you never know
unless you ask. Because I'm saying if she didn't ask, I mean, it didn't just help her, it helped everybody who was at her level. They were like, wait, what? Okay, this is awesome. And so, yeah, when you have really good people, you know, people tend to want to, I don't want to train anyone new.
Yes, say that again. No, so many gems. Yes, it is such a pain in the ass recruiting. Don't make us do it.
Yes. So if you are, but like, here's the thing. If you're so-so, and I'm sure you're not, I'm sure you're killing it. But if you're so-so, I'm like, well, girl, I could train somebody to be so-so, you know?
You have
but
to back you, it up with good work.
Yes. Sure. If you are amazing, what, I mean, like, I'm going to go as high as I can that I can actually afford to do. Like, if it's like, well, I'd like $200,000. I'm like, well, girl, I mean, that would be awesome, but the company can't afford that, you know? So I adjust based upon like how much, like I reach out to our CFO, what are we able to do? What are we able to sustain? So typically if we didn't have a quarter that could sustain a raise, we'll do a bonus, because a bonus, I know we save pretty robustly. So I'm like, okay, with the bonus, it's one time. Here's your money. I don't have to worry about sustaining. Like if you get a raise, I have to pay you that indefinitely. And so there are ways that are kind of around, like, you know, when it comes to like when I'm wanting to kind of show appreciation to the team. But yeah, like I said, if you're killing it, people are going to want to keep you, and they'll do as much as they can in order to do so.
Yeah, 100,000%. But again, like 7K is not the biggest of gaps. And maybe it's a gap that maybe they could close halfway now and the rest of the way next year. But get your facts together, you know, do your own research, see what, and if you've really got intel, you know, share that with them if you feel confident and comfortable, and make your case at the right time, you know, preferably after you've just like nailed a certain project, or, you know, even you don't have to wait for that formal review process if it's something that's really nagging at you. And honestly, if you get that other job offer, it's all the more, you know, that's just like all the more reason to bring it up and all the more pressure on your company to really pay you what you're worth.
Yes.
But don't feel bad. I mean, she says she's embarrassed. Like, that is such a common. I mean, I think I've definitely been there, and the way that I acted is I asked for a raise, didn't get it, and I left. And sometimes you have to, you know, if the company is not really going to help you make up, you just have to learn from it and move on and always negotiate moving forward, always.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your questions, T Park. Okay, let's see. Let's take a question from listener Karen. Says, hi, ladies. I love the podcast. I'm a newish listener. I recently purchased my first home. I also have a car loan through my credit union that I've been paying on for over 2 years now. The interest rate on my mortgage is 4.3%, and on my, which is like the lowest it can be, right? Mm. And on my car loan, it's 2.79%. Excellent rates. She must have good credit.
Yes.
I know you both suggest paying more on the debt that has the highest interest rate, but should I still do that with my mortgage since my car loan has a shorter term? Good question. Good example of when rule of thumb personal finance advice is not always the best.
Yes. I was about to say, child, pay that car off.
Pay that car off. It's going to feel so satisfying when you do. Mm-hmm. And it's probably a much lower balance than your mortgage.
Yes. And honestly, too, it just, yeah, you'll be, and that's why I don't necessarily subscribe to the, well, ideally, and I guess if you want to technically like pay off your debt, yes, hitting the debt with the highest interest rate, because that's the more expensive debt, that is, you know, that technically is the best choice. But emotionally, you know, hitting the debt that you can get rid of the fastest, it's also going to keep you probably on the debt paying down train much longer. So mm-hmm. you don't have to, like, you know, there's no hard and fast rule about anything. But first of all, one, you've got great interest rates. So you're not someone who is like, I've got one credit card and it's a 30% interest rate, and I've got another credit card and it's like a 5% interest rate. Which one should I do? I'm like, girl, go for the 5%, you know, like, go for the 30. Obviously pay that down first, because that's super expensive debt. You know, you're choosing between, you know, Granny Smith apples and Macintosh apples. Are they the same? No, I don't think so.
Oh, no, I don't like the green ones. No, those are not the same.
The green ones?
They hurt my teeth. The green ones are the best. No, they hurt my teeth. No, too sour.
Sorry, guys. God is talking in the background. I'm like, you hear the thunder.
Can you quiet that down, please?
I'm like, Jesus. Could you turn it down? I'm taping my podcast. Thanks. So, yeah, no, I'm just proud of you for those interest rates. Kill it.
Yeah, so that's amazing. Yeah, all I would add to that is just think about, like, if it is true, you know, if you were to pay off your mortgage and, you know, which takes probably, what, 30 years if you just got a house, if you were to pay it off, sure, then you could put that mortgage payment toward your car note, but that's decades away. Are you even going to be in the house that long? I don't know. I think this is a good example of like the debt avalanche versus a debt snowball, and how the debt avalanche has actually in at least one study has been found to be more in debt avalanche. For those who don't know, it's when you order your debts from least amount to largest amount, and you focus on the smallest debts first versus the debt snowball, which involves ordering from highest interest rates to lowest and focusing on the highest interest rates debt. And the reason the debt avalanche has worked where you focus on small debts first is just like Tiffany said, it just like creates this positive momentum. And because it's smaller debts, you get those early, easier wins, and it just, it instills the good behavior that it takes to tackle the bigger debts.
Yes.
And as, yeah, I mean, as I paid off my car note, you know, we got a car and I made it my job to pay it off within a year. And I still to this day feel so smug sliding into my debt-free car. Like, no debt, no one can take this from me. It feels good. And
it does.
I highly recommend that. That's a really good question.
I've had like my two cars. The first one I bought was $5,500, and I bought it. It was like 2 years old. And the second one, I was like, look at Jesus. Someone hit the first one, some kid. And then I used the money from that to get the second one, which is $4,000. That's how much they gave me, the insurance company. So really it was like net, net. I didn't come out of pocket for the second. And then my final car that I have now, I paid it in cash as well, because I just couldn't see myself with a car. No, I'd never had one before. So yes, living as debt-free as you can. I'm within reason. I don't want people to prioritize debt over like actually earning or growing wealth. But debt is, to me, you should have a debt plan that you have in place that's working, and then focus the majority of your energy of earning and growing wealth. And that will help to take care of debt a little bit faster as well.
Yeah, 100%. And think about what you can do with that car payment when you paid off your debt. You know, maybe you can put that into your retirement. I would even say, like, this is the fun part when you're choosing, do I pay off my mortgage or do I save for, you know, investing or something like that? Mm-hmm. And that's where you can really see how much you have to gain by, you know, putting that into your 401k or into like an IRA, and what you your money can work for you over time. Yes. You're in a really enviable position.
Yes, because honestly, I wouldn't put that car note into the house, because your interest rate is 4%. I'm assuming it's fixed. So you can make more in the market. Meaning that, let's just say you can on average make 7% a year, and then you'd be saving 4% with the house. So you could make more in the market than you would be saving by paying off the mortgage. So I definitely would put that money toward growing money, like Mandy said, your retirement account or wealth building account, because it's just, you have such a great interest rate, you don't have to be in a rush to pay it off.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Thank you guys for your questions. Again, hit us up, Brand Ambition Podcast on Instagram, or by email, brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
So are you gonna boost? Or are you gonna break? Ask me why I'm like doing like a body roll, like while I'm standing. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I can't speak without my whole body moving. Are you gonna boost? And I'm snapping too.
You had your Wheaties today or so. Ooh, there's God again with the thunder.
Not only just that, but like literally there's like five cars going off, because you know, the thunder can't help but like set off everyone's car alarm.
This is very like an ominous, like dark, moody episode, but you're doing jazz hands, so we're keeping it light.
So since we're keeping it light, I'm actually going to boost. What are you gonna do?
I got a boost today.
Okay, you wanna go first? You wanna go second?
Sure, I'll go first. Why not? So I'm gonna boost myself, because after, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 11 years, I finally got my butt into therapy. Finally. Whew. And not just any therapist, nothing like bringing a new tiny human into the world that you don't want to screw up, but to give you all the motivation you need to finally get your butt in therapy. So I found a specialist who works with new moms and family psychology and like perinatal therapy, who can help you just plan for all, like just deal with all the changes and stuff. So I'm very, very excited. Very excited. And it took me a while, because so I'm on my husband's insurance and I was trying to find a therapist, you know, all the really good ones that people recommended to me in my area, didn't take insurance, and they wanted like $150, $200 or $250 at the max per hour. Wow. And I started to think about it. I'm like, well, it's an investment in my health. And then I called my insurance company and they said that I get four free prenatal therapy sessions. So like,
oh, good.
Yeah. So they actually give you free, a few free sessions if you're doing it for, you know, prenatal care. And then from there, my copay is just $30. So I was like, let me find someone in network. And I actually asked the people who didn't take insurance if they knew people who did. And I got a referral to a really nice therapist, woman who I've been seeing for a couple weeks now. And it's going pretty well. Awesome. I'm making time for it. I got the butt crack of dawn appointment at like 8:30 a.m. so I can get to work afterward, but it's already making me feel like I'm doing something besides just, you know, eating Chipotle and incubating. I feel like I'm doing something actively to make a better, you know, just to prepare myself, I think, for what we have coming.
Yay. Yeah. I can't imagine how. It's just a lot. I mean, I see so many new moms and it's just, they're just like, I remember when Drina first had my godson, she was like just in shock, like, wait, what? Like, even like the day, she was like on her phone, like, oh, I gotta send out this email. I'm like, a baby's here. The baby is coming, you know? Because it was like so surreal. Like, yeah. She was like, even when you're holding the baby, she's like, who's this again? So, yep. You know, you go to sleep and you're like, oh, have a baby. Oh my gosh. Okay. It's real. So but it's also awesome. Like, I love to see how my sister is with like her kids and how much they like, I mean, just the love that you see like in a kid's eyes when they look at their mom or dad. It's just like, I love to see like how much they're just like how much Amelia looks at Carol. And she just like even when she picks her up from school, she does the same thing. Mommy! And I'm like, oh my God, that's my little sister, Carol. And like now she's like the sun, moon and stars to someone, you know?
I want to be that, but not a crazy psycho stressed out version of that, which is what I feel like I might be if I don't get my shit together.
No, that's awesome though. So yeah, I'm glad that you're doing it.
One of the reasons I'm doing it now and not once the kid comes is because I've talked to moms and they have said things like, I don't have time. And I feel like if I don't instill the habit now, when I have time, I'm certainly not going to like want to do it once I have a tiny human and I'm just like sleep deprived. But if I have the habit now, every Wednesday at 8 a.m., you know, I go to my session or whatever, I feel like I'll keep it up and that's how I'll stay sane when everything and like have time for myself, even when everything's kind of like going insane. And that's all I'd say about that.
No, that's good. And I'm glad that you're doing that for yourself. That's important. So I'm going to actually do two quick boosts. So boost number one, I'm super excited. I finally found a financial planner. Her name is Angelie. She was actually like, it was crazy because I interviewed, as you guys know, like 15, well, I don't know if I shared it, but I interviewed like 15 people. And I wrote like a manifesto of sorts. It was like 5 pages of like what I wanted in a planner, the goals I wanted to reach, where we stood financially. And everybody who I interviewed, I sent it to them ahead of time. Like I made a Google Doc and I was like, here's a link to like all my financial foolishness, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. Because I wanted them to get like, because sometimes you forget to say things and this tends to be the kind of stuff that they ask you anyway. And it was so helpful. And I mean, I encourage you. Like I shared my budget. I shared how much me and Superman made, what we spend every month, you know, what things I was confused about, like how I set aside money for my niece, my nephew, my godson, like all things finance. And how much, you know, just everything. And so I found one and it was funny because I interviewed 15 women and like 3 of them after seeing like my manifesto was like, you know what? I actually think this person would be best for you. Her name is Angelie. So it was so crazy that 3 people suggested her. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I ended up and I was like, we'll see. I ended up and actually came down to your Helen, this woman named Amy, who was amazing, and Angelie. I loved Amy, but she really only did personal finance and she didn't really infuse business because I needed somebody who would also be able to speak to my CFO and my accountant as well. So it came down to Helen and Angelie. And I chose Angelie because not only is she a CFP, but she's also a CPA, so a certified public accountant. So I just love that extra aspect. And she was as awesome as everyone said. Actually, Helen came highly recommended as well, just so you know, Mandy. Like when I interviewed people, like those were the two that people kept saying, you know who will be great with you? Helen or Angelie, you know?
Are they all in the XY Planning Network?
No, this is just like, I literally just posted in the FinCon group and Elevate, our Black and Brown Money group. So I posted all over and like, I interviewed everyone that was like, what about me? So it was about 15 to like 16, 17 people. And so for like their name to come up over and over, I was like, wow, Helen, you out here doing something good, girl. But like I said, I ended up choosing Angelie. So, it's because I felt like her skill set suited really what I was looking for. And so Superman and I have our first like meeting with her tomorrow. So I'm so excited because I finally feel like, because I'm like both anal and just, I don't want to say lazy. I have a hard time making a move without like check, check, double check, 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 double check, 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 check. When it comes to finances. And so I need someone to be like, Tiffany, make the transfer. You can put that aside or you can buy that thing or, you know, like, so instead I put everything in super safety just because I've been through so much post-recession. So I really needed someone who could like, okay. And say, Tiffany, you don't need as much money in savings. Like if something happened that needed this much money, you have a lot more trouble on your hands than like paying for it. And so I'm just excited. So that's one that I'll share kind of like my journey with my financial plan. This is my first financial planner that I've actually paid like a lump sum fee versus like them managing my portfolio. Cause there's two ways that typically financial planners can get paid. You kind of pay them hourly. For this is I pay her every quarter. Or you can pay, someone gets paid like based upon how much money of yours that you're managing. I actually requested that she doesn't manage my money, then instead I will manage and I just manage based upon her advice. Because I've just been through too much where somebody manages my money, they fall off the face of the earth, then I have to switch all my accounts over to something new again. And I don't want to go through that again. She understood that. And so my second boost is just my book, Molly Moore. I probably haven't spoken about it in a long time, but for those of you who are early listeners, I have my first ever children's book that I wrote for preschool and kindergarten children. And it's called Happy Birthday, Molly Moore. I'm actually going to say, I'll send you a quick picture of the cover, Mandy. She is so freaking adorable.
I was just thinking about this book today, actually, and I was going to ask you about it. Yeah, weird, but yeah. Yes. What's the news?
I have been secretly working on it. I don't know. It's just been like, it's been like my baby. I've not stopped. It's not like it's been like years in the making, because honestly, I have gone through like so many different illustrators. They just weren't right. I finally found a publisher. She's amazing. And I really wanted to own, cause sometimes you go with the publisher, they like own the rights. I really wanted a publisher where it was like almost half self-publishing and that I own everything, but then half publisher where they give you the support of like, you know, of making sure you have distribution for your book. Cause I really didn't want to like self-publish. But honestly, I'm going to send this to you right now, Mandra. She is freaking adorable. This is the cover. And, don't mind the words on it, because it's not going to look like that, but the cover is going to look like that. She is so adorable. I wanted her to be chocolate like me. I wanted her to have hair like mine. She is, I just sent text it to you.
I was going to say, where am I looking? Am I on Slack? Am I on email? Am I?
No, text it to
Skype.
You.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I'm just really proud of it, because the book itself is really well written. Just because I've been working on it forever. But it's my introduction to introducing kids to what I call pre-financial education. So like the basis of like community, giving, of sharing, selflessness, like things that give you the strong foundation that you need for personal finance later. And I want this to be a series. And so Molly, M-A-L-I, because I was like, y'all gonna get this African name.
Of course I named my dog Molly, and I'm thinking it's like, you know, the white girl version, like, no, she has.
It was at first, but then, you know, who told me, you know, Tanya, Vancourt. So Tanya Vancourt has this awesome company called Goal Setter, where it like lets kids like earn money for doing like good things. And then it like saves them money for kids. And so Tanya Vancourt, I was sharing my book with her, and I told her, the little girl's name is Molly. And she was like, oh my God, M-A-L-I. One of my daughters, her friend is named Molly. And I was like, wait, no, but yes now. So, cause it was the white girl version of Molly. And I thought, how did I miss that? And so yes, M-A-L-I, because I want there to be this undercurrent of, although it's just a book about a little girl, I wanted to also teach this like undercurrent of how Dora, although it's about a little girl, Dora speaks Spanish. So you're learning diversity as well as the book itself. You know what I mean?
Love it. So cute.
Isn't she so adorable with her little chubby cheeks?
So cute. I love the hair. So when does it come out?
So January 10th.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. So it comes out in the beginning of the year. Like I said, it's fully written. Illustrations are about 90% done. I just printed it out at Staples because I have to go through like picture by picture to make sure that everything's like in alignment. But yeah, my illustrator, Jazz McDaniel, has been amazing. My creative director, Rihanna Lewis, has been amazing. It's been like a 2-year process of actually, when I wrote the book down to like getting to where it is now, it's a long time because you want to get the illustrations right. I wanted her nose to look like, if you truly are a black little girl, this is what your nose looks like. I wanted her to be a little chunky because everyone's not a skinny mini. I wanted her hair to be like tightly coiled. I wanted it to be kinky. Like I didn't even want like, you know, there's nothing wrong with Tia and Tamara hair, but we have a lot of those characters already. I wanted her hair to be like how mine was like a cotton ball, you know? I wanted little girls who looked like me and who looked like Supergirl when they were growing up to also have someone to look at on the shelf, you know? And I feel like there wasn't enough of that. And that the messaging was, well, that's not as cute or as pretty as someone who looks a little bit more mixed, which I want girls to realize that no matter what you look like, there's beauty in it all. And so I'm just excited that I've got a chunky little dark-skinned girl with cotton ball hair that, you know, that is like learning about, like, so the premise of this first book is the core value is learning that things are not as important as people. So it's her birthday. She gets a little greedy, gets more and more excited that it's her birthday versus like the people that have come to see her. At some point, she puts the gifts above everyone else. They all go outside to enjoy. And when it's time to blow out her candle, she looks around. She realizes she's in the house by herself because she's kind of pushed everyone away. And then she quickly realizes, that more is not really more stuff. It's really more hugs, more kisses, more family. And she packs out because like you get to see her gifts as she accumulates them. She packs some of the things that she has extra of and she donates them. And so it's just a really great. And then at the back, I have a lesson plan for parents, extended questions. So you can really lean into the story with your reader. So that's like the teacher in me. So if you're someone who's like, I don't want to teach my child not to be so selfish. So you're like, well, here's a great book to teach that lesson. And so it rhymes too, Mandy. It's so cute. There's a, my favorite, well, the.
Did you write it?
Yeah, I wrote it. Aww. I wrote it. And
so it's like a poem?
Yeah, well, no, it's just, I mean, I guess, but it rhymes without feeling like, I don't know how to say rhymey.
It's not like just, Dr. Seuss.
Yes, no. It's just like, so there is kind of like a chorus-ish where there's a part where it goes, each time a new guest comes to the door, more, says Molly, more, more, more. And you see, what I love is that you get to count. So there's like a point where she's getting all these gifts. It's like two cats, three dogs, a bird and a bat, three fish, three doors, something and a cat. So like it rhymes, but kids actually get to count because you see the picture and you're like, oh, I see the three cats. I see the six dogs because if, you know, money and math, the counting is a core tenet to learning financial education because you're counting money eventually. So I just really tried to think of all the components that a 3 to 6 year old would need, counting, matching, even rhyming. I don't think people understand that rhyming is a precursor to math and financial education because rhyming is keeping on beat. And when you're keeping on beat, you're matching, and matching is a component to math. And so I just was really intentional, even though it's like this cute story, it's really intentional that it's teaching your kids in like 7 different ways, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait. Okay, so save me a copy.
I will, of course.
Signed, please.
Yes, to the new baby, of course. So I'm really excited, honestly. You know, you just feel like this is my passion project. So you just feel like, you know, something that you're working on is for no other reason other than it's just this thing in you you want to express. So, you know, it would be awesome if it becomes this huge success. But just to see it done, I mean, just to print it at Staples and have the woman who printed it out say, oh, this is amazing. Is it on shelves? She wanted to buy it for her daughter. And that's what I wanted because she was Hispanic young woman. She was like, I love the fact that she's so chocolate. My daughter is chocolate. I would love this book. And I just was like, yes, that's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting all little girls to be able to enjoy it, but I want especially brown ambition girls to feel a special kindred spirit with it.
She's stinking cute. Oh, I love it. Can't wait. Congratulations. And you're self-publishing, right?
No. So I've used a publisher called Wise Inc. And so it's run by a woman, which I love, a woman owned and operated. And it's a hybrid of where I get to keep all of my rights and stuff, but they help with distribution.
Oh, nice. So is it going to be in like bookstores?
Mm-hmm. That's what I like about it. But without the fact that like, you know, they own anything, because that was like really big to me. Yeah. I didn't want that, like, you know, I want to be able to one day, hopefully you'll see this on Nickelodeon or Disney or whatever, but I want to own Molly Moore because I want to be able to decide what the story is like. I don't want her to become stereotypical anything, you know?
Right. That makes sense. Can't wait to meet her.
Thank you.
Well, all of them. Give me the subscription to all the series. Awesome. Yes. Well, this was the show.
Yes, and now it's time to say goodbye to all our family. Be our ROWN ambition. I swear I know how to spell most days.
Well, that was actually one of the better times you've tried to spell Brown Ambition.
Yeah, I was like, B-R, wait, Brown. That's good. Yes, it's been awesome. I can't wait to see your baby bump.
You know, I do have a bump. I was telling Tiffany, don't tell pregnant ladies they don't have a bump. Yes, we do, damn it. Because when you say I don't have a bump, it makes me feel like you think I always look this way.
Oh my gosh.
Like I've had 10 burritos. How dare you? How dare you? Yeah, man. It's coming along. Baby's kicking already. I can feel it squirming in there. It's very creepy.
Oh.
It kicks you all over the place. Yeah. But right now it's so tiny, it just feels like a little squid or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So crazy. You're literally growing a life. Isn't that crazy what women can do?
It is. Mother Nature just happening. Yeah, yes. And shout out to the listener who told me about her two obsession with YouTube videos on childbirth. I have watched additional ones. I've heard Netflix has its own documentary section on child labor. I will be copying some of those videos as well.
Yeah, don't do it, Nandy.
I want all the gore. I want to know every possible outcome.
Are you going to take Hamas classes?
I guess I have to. I don't know. My hospital offers. Actually, if you're thinking about having a kid, I didn't realize how many programs hospitals offer. Like I've been doing prenatal yoga at my hospital. Ooh. And they have tons of classes for new parents. I think when we get back from the baby moon, that's kind of like the halfway point. I mean, I'm halfway now, but I think when we get back, that's when it's going to get really real. The clock's going to be ticking and we're going to sign up for some classes together because it's my husband's turn to start worrying about stuff too.
Right now he's like, you good?
He's like, cool, we get to go to Shake Shack again, this is great.
I love it.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.